Good morning, everyone. So glad that you're here today. We've got visitors here, and we bid you welcome, and we thank you for visiting with us today. And if you're traveling, we hope that you have safety in your journey. But if you're looking for a church home, we hope that you'll stick around afterward and get to meet some of us and consider making this place your home. This is an exciting place to be with a lot of exciting things happening. Tonight does begin our vacation Bible school, and there's been lots of preparation that has been made, especially this past week. And I just want to stop and say thank you to all of the people that have been putting in so many long hours of work to make a great vacation Bible school for this church, and appreciate so much what you've been doing. I'm also thankful and reminded this morning of how blessed we are as a church in so many ways. I am so thankful for the work that Fred Orr is doing with our hearing impaired members of this church. There have been numerous people that have been brought to Christ in baptism the past few weeks and months, and lots of new faces that are here among us today, and we're just so blessed that you're here with us, and we're thankful for you. Also, I have several housekeeping details that I need to mention before we get started this morning. In the first place, tonight that does begin our vacation Bible school, we will be having an adult class in the auditorium, and I'll say more about that in just a moment. But we plan to have refreshments along with that, and we had some sign-up sheets Wednesday night in all the adult classes. If you signed up to bring cookies or 10-ounce cases of 10-ounce bottled water, whichever one you signed up for, please don't forget that you signed up for that. And please bring what you agreed to bring, and you can drop that off in room 206 today, and anytime today, and that will certainly be used, and we'll enjoy that this week during our adult class for Vacation Bible School. If you are planning to come tonight, and you have you're planning for your children or grandchildren to come, and you have not yet registered for Vacation Bible School, if you're just coming to the adult class, no registration is necessary. But for our children, we do need you to register. And the way you do that is by going to our church website at maryvillechurchofchrist.org. And on that front page, there's a thing you can click, a big banner that says Vacation Bible School. You can click on that and you can register online. That's going to help us in the process of getting everybody where they need to be first thing tonight. So if you've not yet done that, I've been asked to remind you to please help us out with that. Also, I still need some people to help us out with our upcoming small group ministry, which will begin once again in September. I want to say to you again, if you can help us with hosting one of our small groups, that's going to help us tremendously. There's a sign-up sheet across the hallway from the elevator. If you'd please think about that, consider that, and sign up. In order for us to continue this ministry, we cannot continue it unless we have adequate people that are willing to host these groups in their homes. We had a survey some time ago, and about 89 or 90% of this congregation feels like that this ministry is one of the best ministries we've got going, and you feel like that this is something that's been beneficial to the church. But in order for us to continue it, we got to have hosts. So please consider doing that. You might want to partner with someone else and share that burden, but however you want to do it, just be sure and sign up on the bulletin board or talk to me personally about that. One other thing before we begin this morning. I appreciate so much Roy on behalf of the elders mentioning to us this morning the results of the work of Lee Allen with Albert's sisters being baptized into Christ. That's a phenomenal success in what the work is being done there. But I also want to mention to you, we received an email from Tom Langley this week, and he was given some information with his work with WEI. I just want to briefly mention this to you. His email says that he has received information that 1,040 baptisms have occurred in the last 12 years, either directly or indirectly related to WEI internet teaching in Haiti. And some of you, in fact, at least five that we know, WEI teachers in this congregation have had students in Haiti. And so what we're trying to say to you is your labor has not been in vain. Those of you that are working to help teach people the Bible through this ministry, there has been tremendous success. Over 1,000 baptisms in Haiti in the last 12 years, directly resulting from the WEI internet teaching ministry in that country. And I just think that's a phenomenal success, and I just thought we needed to be all aware of that this morning. As we begin today, we're going to... This is actually not the right slides, and I don't know whether I put the slides on the computer this week. I may not have. We're not looking at Joshua this morning as we were intending to. So I think I perhaps forgot to put any slides. We may forego the slides this morning. But what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is there's been a lot going on this week, okay? There's been a lot going on. And I built slides, but they're on my computer in the office, and that doesn't really do us any good. I want to talk to you this morning about guardrails. Guardrails. This is something that we think about perhaps not very often. We probably don't consider the importance of guardrails in the things in our lives that as we drive down the road and we see these things on the side of the road all over the place. We probably don't stop to think about the importance of what these guardrails do. But if there were not guardrails on the side of the road, there would perhaps be many more accidents, tragic accidents, than there are. Guardrails are placed on the side of the road to keep you from going over the edge, to prevent a tragic disaster that could occur. Now, nobody wants to hit a guardrail with your car, but better to hit the guardrail with your car than to go over the edge of the cliff and perhaps not only destroy your car, but lose your life. And so, as we think about that imagery of guardrails, I want to, for the next few minutes, present to you the idea that perhaps in our personal lives, in the decisions we make, we should erect some guardrails in our lives to prevent disaster from occurring. Let me just present it to you this way. Do you have any regrets in your life? As you look back over the years, are there things that you've done that you really wish you hadn't? I think if we're all honest and if we've lived any period of time at all, we would have to all agree that we have some regrets. But imagine for just a moment. Just think for just a moment. What if you, right now, could somehow communicate with your future self? You know, the self, the person that you are now, but only maybe 10 years from now. And let's say the person that you are right now, 10 years from now, imagine for just a moment, you, 10 years from now, looking back on your life over the 10 years that you right now have yet to live. And what if your future self could realize there are some regrets? But your future self could travel back in time and have a conversation with you and say, if you would just do this, this, and this in your life, you could prevent major regret from happening. What if you could make some decisions today that would prevent regret in the future? Who among us doesn't want to protect our families? Who among us doesn't want to protect our marriages? Who among us does not want to avoid major financial mistakes? Well, what if you could make some decisions today that would prevent those things from happening in the future? I want to suggest to you that perhaps we can do just that by erecting guardrails in our lives. Now, a guardrail, when you're driving down the highway, is simply this. It's a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. If you're driving up in the mountains, there might be steep cliffs on the side of the road. Large places that if you were to drive just very far onto the shoulder, you would absolutely go off of the edge and lose your life. And so guardrails are erected, a system to keep you from straying into those dangerous or off-limit areas. But think about what a guardrail could be in your own personal life, in the decisions that you make every day, that would prevent regret from occurring in your life. A guardrail in your own personal life might be defined as a standard of personal behavior, just standards that you put in place in your own life, not a standard that you try to put in place in somebody else's life, but a standard that you put in your own life. Now, other people may not have that standard, but it's just something that you've decided to do in your own life for yourself that becomes a matter of conscience. Not because it necessarily is morally right or wrong or sinful, but you're erecting a thing in your life, a behavior in your life, something that you're deciding that I personally will choose not to do that, not because it's wrong, but because I need a guardrail to keep me from going over the edge of something that is wrong. By erecting those guardrails, we can prevent major disaster from occurring. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 27. I just have one verse for you today. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 12. Proverbs 27, 12. Now, by the way, as you're turning there, there are several times in the book of Proverbs where this same statement or a similar one is repeated. So this is not like a one-hit wonder. This is a reoccurring theme throughout the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a book of the Bible that is trying to give you and me good advice for navigating life in a healthy way. How can you be successful in living your life? The Proverbs gives advice for that. Direction, instruction, guidance for that. And part of that guidance is this reoccurring phrase. And I want to look at the way it's given in Proverbs 27 and verse number 12. Let me share it with you from the NIV. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, I want you to just let that sink in for just a moment. What is this piece of Scripture, this holy, inspired message of God trying to say to your life and to mine? If I'm prudent, if I'm smart, if I'm wise about the way that I go about my life, when I see something down the road or something in my vision or I anticipate something that could be dangerous, I see the cliff. When I see that danger, I take refuge. I do something in my life. I'm proactive and I take action to do things in my life to prevent going over the edge, to prevent the danger. But someone who is simple or naive, they see the danger, but they just keep going. And they suffer for it. What is the proverb trying to communicate to you and me? Prudent people, smart people, wise people, if you're going to live your life in a healthy and good way, a godly way, when you see something that is potentially dangerous for your life, when you see it coming, you back off. You don't flirt with danger. You don't get as close to the edge as you can get. No, you notice the guardrail and you welcome and erect those personal behavior guardrails in your life to prevent yourself from going over the edge. You know what society does? Society tells you, culture tells you, you don't need those things in your life. That's just ludicrous. That's just legalistic or being too conservative. And so culture says you can get as close to the edge as you can. Just get as close as you can. But then if you go over that edge, if you get to the edge and it crumbles off and you fall off the edge, then culture will turn around and chastise you for going over the edge. Have you ever noticed that? The culture will say it is okay for you to be highly flirtatious with your coworkers. But then if you fall into an affair, culture will turn around and chastise you for that. And there are numerous examples we could use where culture baits us. It tries to lure us just as close to the edge, but then when you fall over it, the culture will chastise you for doing that. Well, why not prevent going so close to the edge? Why not erect those personal behavior guardrails to keep us from going over the edge? The prudent person, the smart person, sees danger and backs off. But the naive person, the foolish person, the simple person, sees the danger, but they just keep going. They just keep flirting with it. Just keep going onto the edge. And what is the result? They suffer for it. Several years ago, the material I'm sharing with you was impressed upon me whenever I saw a 6-part sermons lesson series, small group Bible study series by Andy Stanley called Guardrails. And in that series, Stanley makes this point that I thought was absolutely powerful. He said that years ago, whenever he and his wife discovered this verse, they took it so seriously in their own personal lives, in their marriage, in the financial decisions that they make, in the friendships that they engage in, and in their dealings with their children, they have tried to instill this principle. They try to say this prayer, and this is something that I think we all should really think seriously about. We should pray this prayer daily to God. Lord, help me to see danger when it's coming, and give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Now listen to that again. Lord, help me to see danger when it's coming, and give me the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. You see, I think a lot of us see danger in our life. We see the red flags that are going up, and yet we keep going and we suffer for it. But if you're prudent, you see the danger and you take refuge. You pull back. You move away from it. And that's true especially in relationships. Relationships are things in our life that are always on the move. Relationships are not static. They are always moving. Your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with coworkers, your relationship with your boss, your relationship with your kids, all of these relationships are not just fixed in stone. They're always moving. They're always growing. They're always dying. They're always being nurtured, or they're shriveling away. They're always moving in one direction or the other. And so what we've got to always be in the process of doing is evaluating our relationships to see not just where the relationship is, but what is the direction that the relationship is headed. I suppose we're all guilty of this, or perhaps if we've not been, we will be. But it disturbs me how that we usually, take our marriages for example, we usually don't really take seriously the direction our marriages are headed and seek the help we need until the thing is already burnt down to the ground. We see the red flags, we see the danger, but we do nothing for it because of it, and we suffer harm. But this proverb says the prudent see the danger and they do something about it. If you were in your home last night and you're asleep in the bed and all the lights are off, and then all of a sudden you wake up to the smell of smoke, can you not see how foolish it would be to smell the smoke and say, well, I smell a little smoke, but it's not that bad, and then just go back to sleep? The simple see the danger and they do nothing for it and they suffer harm. What do the wise do? You smell smoke. You don't wait till the house is burnt down before you call the fire department. You call the fire department at the first sign of smoke. What do the wise do? The wise see the danger and they do something. They take action. They back off. They erect a guardrail long before they got to the edge. Because the prudent person sees the danger and they do something about it. When it comes to our friendships, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to our marriages, they're always moving. If you just step back and do nothing, you will suffer harm in all of these areas. But the prudent do something. They take action. I want to show you just a real quick video clip of what we're going to be studying together as we walk through, beginning tonight in this adult class. I want to invite everybody to come back tonight at 6 o'clock, and after a brief program with the children, we're going to have a program here directly for adults where we're going to talk about these very principles in various areas of our life as we look together at the curriculum by Andy Stanley called Guardrails, and then we're going to have some really good discussion about all of these areas. We're going to look at a brief video clip, give you a little preview of what it's going to be like. Let me kind of share with you what we're going to look at with this series. Starting tonight, we're going to look at the introductory lesson that's called Direct and Protect. And this lesson is all about what does it mean to establish these personal behavioral decisions in your life that are those guardrails that prevent you from getting too close to the edge. How do we make those decisions in our life? And those are decisions that should not only direct the direction of our life, but protect us from suffering harm because we don't erect those things. Then Monday night in the adult class, we're going to move on to another lesson in the series that talks about what guardrails do I need to put in place in my life to guard against unhealthy friendships. Friendships are things in life that are tremendous blessings, but they can be something that can bring disaster to your life. Why? Because when you get into a friendship, you open yourself up to influence. And sometimes we can be influenced for good, but sometimes we can be influenced for bad. And so we need to erect certain behavioral guardrails in our life, things that we will choose not to do, even in our friendships, to prevent us from being influenced in a destructive way. On Tuesday night, we're going to look at marriage and different decisions that need to be made in our lives and in establishing guardrails to protect our marriages and our sexual intimacy. And so that's what we'll look at. And then Wednesday night, we're going to talk about finances. What kinds of financial guardrails do I need to implement in my life to prevent financial regret from occurring? And then we'll conclude on Thursday night with a lesson talking about that this is your moment. This is the time in your life when you can make that defining decision, where you make decisions right now where your future self will not live in regret. Because if your future self could come back 10 years into the past and look you in the eye, I feel certain yourself would say to you, "I wish you'd have done this or done this or not done this." Because if you had, you wouldn't have gone over the edge and you wouldn't be living with the regret that you will live with in 10 years from now. So this is your defining moment. Now is the time to draw the line in the sand and to change the direction of your life by making behavioral decisions now that will prevent you from going over the edge. I hope that you'll be back with us tonight. I hope that you'll come and invite your friends to be a part of this adult class and invite your neighbors and friends and family to come as well and invite them to bring their children to be a part of the phenomenal classes that we'll have tonight in the children's program. This is a congregational wide event, and so I want to invite you to bring as many people as you can to be a part of this series as we look together at some issues about how we can live the best that we can in our families and in our relationships for God. This morning, let me ask you, are you on the edge of disaster? Do you feel like you've even already gone over the edge as if all hope is lost? Well, I guess what? Even if you've gone over the edge, if you look back and you are absolutely mired in the regret of your life, I want you to know there is still hope. Even if you've gone over the edge, there is still hope. Because Jesus is the means of rescue. He can provide for you forgiveness and a brand new start to get you back on track. If we can help you in your obedience to Him, we invite you to come and let your need be known. If we can help you in your obedience to Jesus and to take the first steps of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ in belief, confession, repentance, and baptism, we would encourage you to have some conversation with us about that. If you need prayers for your spiritual walk in any way, we have shepherds of this flock that are here to assist you. There'll be one down front if we need to all have prayer together regarding a matter, or if you've got something that's more private in nature and you need some more face-to-face time, just in private, we're going to have a couple of our shepherds that will meet in the library. You can go right through these doors, take a right, it'll be the next door on your left, and there in the library there'll be two of our shepherds to meet you. If you need anything at all that we can help you with, come to Christ as we stand and as we sing.